Yud Elul, Friday the 5th of September, Rabbi Aaron Hirsch, the connection to mitzvahs.
Good morning. So, much... idea in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, the opening Mishnah, which records a machlokes between Tanoim as to when we have mention of machshava, of hashkofa, that there is also a requirement at this time of year to separate ourselves from that element of the behema within. That maisa behema needs to be taken internally as well at this time, in order for us to arrive at Rosh Hashanah, or according to the other opinion in the Mishnah, that on Rosh Hashanah itself, that we rid ourselves of that tendency within. And this is, in a way, expanded upon by the Eruv Chaim, who asks a fairly obvious question about the process of Korbanos, where we are supposed to see ourselves as going through that which the behema is taken through. And therefore, it is, so to speak, appropriate as part of the tshuva to be makriv korbanos. To which the Eruv Chaim asks, but what possible connection is there between myself and this animal? How does that complete in my mind the concept of tshuva? And he says, because when a person is a chayte, at that moment in time, that's what they become, a behemoth. And therefore, there is an immediate connection with what we are being makriv, and hence, there is an understanding that what is going through there is in reality. Yikra, the grammatical issue. The Torah writes, Odom ki yakriv mikem korban lashem, whereas it should have said, Odom mikem ki yakriv korban, not Odom ki yakriv mikem korban lashem. And he explains that what is actually going on, the Gemara says, Lahovi bnei Odom shedoimim lebehema, that it includes people who are now Dime Lebehema, that they are included in those that can bring a korban, and therefore it's Odom Ki Yakriv, a person is bringing Mikem, part of themselves, as a korban. Which element? Mina Behema. The Behema element of themselves is that which we are bringing as the korban, in order to rid ourselves of that element. And in fact, the Sfas-Emes points out that the 52 days of Avodah that we have from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Shmini Atzeres, those 52 days, the gematria of 52 is behemoth. That's what the Avodah is there for, to rid ourselves of this element. Now, having said that that is what we are supposed to be doing, the question is, how? I know what's of course, the harder element is how. Secondly, we know that Parshas Kisetse always intersects with Chodesh Elul. And Kisetse has the greatest amount of mitzvahs of any one sedra in the Torah, of any one parasha. And at some level, there must be a connection between the concept of mitzvahs generally and the concept of tshuva. Now, obviously, if I improve what I am doing, I'm going to become more of a bal tshuva in the process. But clearly, there must be something more that links the sedra and that links the concept of mitzvahs inherently to tshuva. So the Ari in Parsha Shmos writes that there are two types of Gehenim. There is Gehenim Shel Eish and Gehenim Shel Sheleg. He goes on to explain that what that means is Gehenim Shel Eish is there to rectify the chamimus with which a person commits averus. Because it's not just the maisa avera itself. It's the thought process, the hirhurim, that go into it, and even the reflection and almost enjoyment of the avera la'acha maisa. It's not just the maisa avera which needs to be dealt with, but the attitude, and in a way the process to the avera. Yet, on the other hand, there is another aspect within a person's actions that also needs undoing, and that is the karirus, the coldness that they bring to maisa mitzvahs. Once again, not just the action that we're looking at, but the idea that it is by habit, by rote, the idea that it is done without reflection, instinctively. Both of these elements need to be undone for there to be a complete tikkun. And in fact, in the very beginning of Parshas Bereishis and Pasuk Ches, Rashi notes that the reason Shamayim is so named is because there is Eish Umayim She'irvon Zebuzeh. Kodesh Baruch Hu brought together, mixed together, Eish and Mayim, v'osso mehem shamayim. That is where the title, the term, comes from. And therefore, somebody who is a Yirei Shamayim is somebody who is in fear of both of these elements, of the Eish and the Mayim. Both the committing of Leis Aseis, the transgressions, and the performance of the assays, of the mayim, of the careerus that takes place there. And therefore, the end of Parshas Kisetze, which deals with all of these mitzvahs, 74 mitzvahs in this parsha, warns us of Amalek, but not just the nation of Amalek, but the concept of Amalek, that a person is loy yirei Elohim. That a person, even after these 74 mitzvahs, can be potentially at a stage of lo yirei Elohim, because there isn't this idea that in their mind that they are worried about Eish Umayim. Beyond that, there are two statements in Chazal, which are completely distinct to one another, as they are normally understood, but al pi machshava they contain exactly the same idea, and that is making a link between kiyum mitzvahs and the limud ha-Torah of those mitzvahs. If we want a mitzvah to be complete, to be sholem, then beyond the actual carrying out of the mitzvah, there needs to be the limud Torah, which creates the mitzvah in the first place. One Gemara is that which tells us that ein ha-mitzvah nikras ela al mishe goimro. So normally understood to ascribe the mitzvah to the person who completes it, but here, goimro in the sense of learning of it. That a mitzvah can be called by the name of somebody who actually learns that mitzvah, because that way they have acquired it. They're not just doing it. It is something which they have invested into. It is something which they have demonstrated more than simply a passing interest in. It's something that they want to actually understand, that they want to connect to. And therefore somebody learns about the mitzvah in order to perform it in a way where the Maaseh would have been perhaps unaffected. But now there is a far greater aspect to the mitzvah. And similarly, the Gemara that tells us that Ein Mevorchim Al Haner Ad She'ya'osu L'Oira. Once again, normally referring to the mitzvah of when we're lighting a candle, lighting a flame. But here, since we know of the concept of Ner Mitzvah and Torah Oir, that the brocha on a mitzvah, when can the mitzvah be given the title of being complete in the sense that I am able to completely give it the term brocha, when I have benefited l'oiroi of the light of it, which is contained within the limud Torah element of that mitzvah. So there is mevorchin al haner, making a brocha over the mitzvah, comes when a person has been ye'osu l'oira, when there has been the Torah element. Because then the neshama of the mitzvah has been clothed in the limud Torah itself. It completes that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because our Kabbalas HaTorah was predicated on Nase V'Nishma. It wasn't simply that we said Nase, which in and of itself would have been a tremendous statement of Emunah. I don't know what there is in the Torah. Sight unseen, I undertake to do whatever is in the Torah. But our Kabbalas HaTorah went beyond that. Beyond the Nase was a commitment to the Nishma of Torah, even though we're going to do it. But there's an added element of the Nishma that is part of the Kabbalas HaTorah. And that's where they get the two crowns. Because there is a crown that comes with the Nishma that completes the mitzvah. At a stage beyond that, perhaps to expand on the understanding of that, is a kliyokar towards the end of this week's parasha, on the concept of having weights which are correct. So the Torah tells us, lo yeh lecha bekischa even v'oven gedolah uktalah. I may not have two different types of weights, which we would normally understand as meaning, you have to have both of them being equal in order to be able to weigh equally. Whereas the presumption is that if you have one that is gedola and one that is katana, one is correct and one is incorrect. But the Torah then goes on to say, lo yeh lecha b'veischa eifa gedola katana, even shlema v'tzedek yeh loch. Having told us that we can't have gold oil and cotton, the Torah then tells us, so what are you supposed to have? Which I would have understood myself. But the Torah goes on to say, Even Shlema V'Tzedek Yeloch, which I should have already understood from the initial instruction that Gedola and Ketana are no good. Says the Kli Yochar, that what we are referring here to is somebody who Tucker has one Evan that is correct. And yet by doing so, it's still, as the Torah describes, a Te'eva. Why? Because if the person only had measures, if all the person's measures were incorrect, it would be easier to catch them out. Here what happens is they have one which is fine. So they have enough customers who are happy with them. And then every so often, they rip somebody off by putting on the false measure. And that way, even the correct measure is a te'eva. Because it allows me to get away with the incorrect measures. And therefore, in the same way as if a doctor turned out to be a serial killer as well, we wouldn't say, well, you know, look, how many lives he saved. Okay, so he killed 20 people. You can't just balance the one out against the other and have a numbers game. The same is true, says the Kliocha, with the Maisa HaMitzvahs. It isn't simply a counting game. When a person commits averus, they create a degree of tumah. And that tumah needs to be undone rather than simply outweighed by the amount of mitzvahs that they also do. And hence, this mitzvah leads at the end to the warning against Amalek. The idea that my attitude to Torah has to be an ongoing one, a constant one. In fact, the Avnei Nezer points out with regards to the Klei Sharis in the Beis HaMikdash, this idea with regards to Shuvah during this time. He says that, obviously, besides for the fact that the Kohen needs to be in a state of Tahara when they carry out the Avodah, and that, let's say, the dam which they are carrying in the Klei Sharis needs to be Tahar as well, but so too the Keli. The Keli that is the external of this aspect of the Avodah. Whereas, if the Keli is Tomei, it's irrelevant that the Kohen and the Korban are not. The whole Avodah is possible. When it comes to the human being, we have been metame ourselves through our averus. We say this on Yom Kippur night in the Tula Zaka there. Loidai shaloi kidashti esevarai elotimesi oisam. And we go through every ava, my mouth and my ears, etc., etc. Mashashti is kolei varai, and I have become Tomei. So if I've become Tomei, why will the process of tshuva help? Why will it ultimately allow me to carry on performing mitzvahs until there has been a tshuva shalema on every aspect? The body is Tomei. And if the body is Tomei, it's like the Klei Sharis being Tomei. Thus helped us that I'm doing Maisa HaMitzvahs. I could do Maisa HaMitzvahs in the Beis HaMikdash, but as long as the Keli is Tomei, then the mitzvahs apostle. So how do I deal with that? So he says, you have to do tshuva from that element of me that never became Tomei. A person's panemius is never exposed to tumah, and therefore it is able to affect the rest of me. I have to start with the element which is Tahor. And with this, he explains a comment of the Sfas Emes that the Chodesh of Elul, its simon, its sign, its muzzle, is Basula. Basula is completely inappropriate to define Elul. Because by definition, we have done things wrong, and therefore we are not a basula. That's the stage that perhaps we want to get back to. But it isn't Elul. Post Rosh Hashanah, that's where we hope to be, or Yom Kippur. But that's not where we are in Elul. We're approaching, with an understanding, a matzav of Avera. So he says no, because the process of Elul takes place by starting from that element within me which is the basula. That element within me that is always untouched by the effects of chait, that remains tahor. It's only from there that I can expand my tshuva, and quote the pasuk in Yeshaya that v'levavoy yovin v'shov v'rofe. When the heart understands, and there's an internal process to the tshuva, v'shov, the tshuva can then heal the other ivorim in the body to achieve a complete tahara. And hence, we begin the process of tshuva, shehamalis mimamakim korosicha, because it's only within that there is an unadulterated element, and it's from there that the truva can take place. And hence the posuk in Parshas Veschanan, which describes Klal Yisrael by telling us, Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. There's a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir in the Gemara in Kedushin, first parak of Kedushin, where Rabbi Yehuda says, Bizman she'atem noyagim minhag bonim, atem kriim bonim. When you act like bonim, as we allude to in the Tefillah, in Musaf, in Chazaras HaShatz, on Rosh Hashanah, im kavonim, im kavodim. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, no, Beinkach u beinkach atem kriim bonim. We are always described as the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's interesting that it is Rabbi Meir about whom we are told, Rimoin motza, teichei ochal, kliposei zorak. What was Rabbi Meir's approach to Limud HaTorah? Looking at the internal and discarding the external. Because it is the internal element that remains untouched by chait. It is only there that the process is constant. And therefore, we are always bonim l'Hashem. Where? Internally. That never changes. If you want to define who I am, define me by the element that never changes. That element is the idea that I am always bonim because of the internal. And therefore, it is no surprise that in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos, Rav Meir is the author of the statement, Al tistakal bekankan, mashi yeshboi, because that's what you're looking at. And therefore, to understand how we destroy that element of the behemoth within us, we need to start from the element that is never behemoth, the element that is untouched, which obviously is appropriate to the concept of tefillah, because there it is a time where there is no maisa involved in tefillah. It is an internal avoida, as the Gemara describes on the Obdiv on the Vavachem, it's avoida shebelev. The element of tefillah is what allows me to connect to my pnimius and bring out a tahara for the person in totality. Beyond that, though, there is an idea that I saw brought by Rabbi Mordechai Miller Zatzal. He quotes an Orchas Tzadikim with regards to the Ben Seira Moirer. And he says, Ben Seira Moirer Nenash Bishvil Shalei Shoma. The essential chait of the Ben Seira Moirer is that they didn't hear. And he goes on to say, Shmia hi t'nai lehis alis. That concept of shmia, of being able to listen, is a non-negotiable precondition, lehis alois. And there is a chazal which tells us that la'osid, in the future, ha'koel asidim liim liyos tmeim, keneged mi sheshoma le'elokim. Everyone will express amazement with regards to those who listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and will say, how is it that this shofal, this person of almost no value, Shaloi Korah, the Loi Shoma, didn't learn Torah. Vareyush hu yoshev im ha'ovois u'meisiach imohim. How did this person of almost no value end up being placed with the ovois? Ve'alekim yomar lehem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond and say, you're surprised? Le'zochu elu me'elu el mipnei she'shamu elai. They were able to hear. And it's interesting because we know about the Ben Seira Moirer that he is judged al shem seifei. Whereas in the same situation, Yishmael was judged ba'asher hushom. Why? Because he had that concept of Shmir. It is embedded within his very name. Whereas Esav is keneged the Nase of Klal Yisrael, Yishmael is keneged the Nishma. And therefore, going back to the concept of Nase the Nishma that we mentioned earlier, we need that element of Nishma to get back to the Nase. We need to be open to hearing in order to be able to regain the concept of Asiyas HaMitzvahs. And the idea of being open is the second approach to dealing with the Maisa Behema in Chodesh Elul, and that is the concept of Limud HaMusa. Not necessarily by spending hours of time in Hispoedidus, because the reality is that we're not going to be able to create that space. But being able to think for short periods of time, very short periods of time, but simply being able to think and to allow ideas to be heard which are not normally there, in order to break me out of the habit, of the routine, of both the Eish and the Mayim, of both the Averus which I commit, and the Mitzvahs which I don't approach with the correct Hachala, with the correct ideology. Even a short exposure to concepts of Musa will allow me to hear, will allow me to become more sensitized. And this is what the Gemara that deals with the Churban of Bayis Sheni introduces all of those outcomes of the Churban with a part of a posuk in Mishlei, Ashrei Odom Mefached Tomid. Tosfos points out that pachad is not normally seen as being something positive. Here Shlomo HaMelech is extolling pachad as a virtue. But what we are referring to is the concept of pachad, pachad Elikim. If a person is a Yirei Elikim, of both elements of the Eish and Mayim, if a person understands that it isn't only the Asiyas HaMitzvahs that we find in Kisetse, but the outcome to not be affected by the Amalek within us, by that element of Sofek within us, if a person is able to hold on to that Pachad, then they are able to undo that element of Behema, they are able to separate Maisa Behema during the Chodesh of Elul, and they are able to turn to that Aver Pnimi that was never affected by Chet, and as a result, achieve a Kapara for the entire Guf.